other Taoist values. Still following the analogy of water, the Taoists rejected all forms of self-assertiveness and competition. The world is full of people who are determined to be somebody or give trouble. They want to get ahead, to stand out. Taoism has little use for such ambitions. The axe falls first on the tallest tree. A quote from Tao Te Ching, chapter 24. He who stands on tiptoe doesn't stand firm. He who rushes ahead doesn't go far. He who tries to shine dims his own light. Their most referential attitude toward humility led the Taoists to honor hunchbacks and cripples because of the way they typified meekness and self-effacement. They were fond of pointing out that the value of cups, windows, and doorways lies in the parts of them that are not there. Selfless as melting ice is one of their descriptive figures. The Chinese word for landscape, for instance, in painting, is composed of the radicals for mountain and water, one of which suggests vastness and solitude, the other, pliability, endurance, and continuous movement. The human part in the vastness is small, so we have to look closely for human beings in the paintings if we find them at all. Usually they're climbing with their bundles, riding a buffalo, or bowling a boat. The self with its journey to make, its burden to carry, its hill to climb, but surrounded by beauty on every side. People are not as formidable as mountains. They do not live as long as the pines. Yet they do belong in the scheme of things as surely as do the birds and the clouds. And through them, as through the rest of the world, flows the everlasting Tao. Taoist naturalism, combined with a propensity for naturalness as well, pomp and extravagance, were regarded as silly. When Chuang Tzu's followers asked permission to give him a grand funeral, he replied, "Heaven and earth are my inner and outer coffins. The sun, moon, and stars are my drapery, and the whole creation, my funeral procession. What more do I want?" Another feature of Taoism is its notion of the relativity of all values and, as its correlative, the identity of opposites. This polarity sums up all of life's basic oppositions, the yin and yang. It sums up good, evil, active, passive, positive, negative, light, dark, summer, winter, male, female. But though the halves are in tension, they are not flatly opposed. They complement and balance each other. In the end, both find themselves resolved by the circle that surrounds them, the Tao in its eternal wholeness. Life does not move onward and upward toward a fixed pinnacle or pole. It bends back upon itself to come full circle to the realization that all is one and all is well. Those who meditate on this profound symbol of the yin and yang, Taoists maintain, will find that it affords better access to the world's secrets than any length of words and discussions. All values and concepts, then, are ultimately relative to the mind that entertains them. In the Taoist perspective, even good and evil are not head-on opposites. The West has tended to dichotomize the two, but Taoists are less categorical. Elsewhere, Chuang Tzu expressed his confidence in the face of death directly. Quote, from Chuang Tzu, "There is the globe, the foundation of my bodily existence. It wears me out with work and duties. It gives me rest in old age. It gives me peace in death. For the one who supplied me with what I needed in life will also give me what I need in death. It is no surprise to find an outlook as averse to violence as Taoism, verging on pacifism. There are passages in the Tao Te Ching that read almost like the Sermon on the Mount. Taoism is free of the Confucian tendency toward rigidity and formalism. Taoist literature is full of dialogues with Confucianists, in which the latter come off as stuffy and pompous. An instance is the story of the Taoist Chuang Tzu and the Confucian Hui Tzu, who on an afternoon stroll came to a bridge over the Hao River. "Look how the minnows dart hither and thither at will. Such is the pleasure fish enjoy," Chuang Tzu remarked. "You are not a fish," responded Hui Tzu. "How do you know what gives pleasure to fish?" "You are not I," said Chuang Tzu. "How do you know?" "I don't know what gives pleasure to fish." Confucius represents the classical, Lao Tzu the romantic. Confucius stresses social responsibility, Lao Tzu praises spontaneity and naturalness. Confucius' focus is on the human, Lao Tzu's on what transcends the human. As the Chinese themselves say, Confucius roams within society, Lao Tzu wanders beyond. There are books whose first reading casts a spell that is never quite undone. The reason being that they speak to the deepest me in the reader. For all who quicken at the thought that anywhere, at every time, the Tao is within us, the Tao Te Ching is such a book.